Welcome to another podcast in Network Computing Security Channel podcast series. I'm Kurt Franklin. I'm your host for these podcasts. This podcast is coming to you from the Podcasting Conference in Ontario, California, an interesting show where I've heard and seen a lot of great things regarding podcasting. Many of them you will be hearing the results of, if not about the products themselves, because this is something that's moving very quickly. And I'm glad you're here listening and taking part. Well, tonight's podcast is based on a conversation I had recently with a group of folks from the OATH Initiative. Now, OATH is the Initiative for Open Authentication, and this organization is working to come up with standards by which products and processes can work together towards achieving strong authentication. If you've ever tried to build an authentication system for a network, you know that it's very difficult if you want to try and bring together products from different vendors. So the folks at OATH are trying to remedy that. And I had a chance to get together over the phone with four individuals. There was David Berman of VeriSign, Wally Cowell of Diversinet, Stu Baish of Diversinet, and Don Malloy of Encryptone. Now, when we were talking, it was less noisy a situation than you have here. And we were able to talk a bit about where they are in their initiative, what they're hoping to achieve, and what it will mean to you if they are able to achieve their goals. I think this is fascinating because, without question, authentication is one of those issues that is important and growing more important as trust relationships develop between users of computer networks and the network administrators of other networks. The networks that belong to, say, their partners, their customers, their suppliers. So I was very interested to sit down with these folks, find out where they are, and I think you will be too, even if you aren't looking directly at OATH as one of your current authentication system criteria. The ideas that they put forward are well worth listening to, and I think very well worth considering as we move forward. So I will be back at the end, but until then, here is my conversation with David Berman, Wally Cowell, Stu Baish, Don Malloy, all representatives in OATH. Wanted to begin by asking for just the briefest of roundups. We've had a number of conversations and with people from OATH among the different editors of Network Computing, and we see news from the organization at various locations on the web and in the general press. But I'm particularly interested in finding out what's going on now that makes OATH more important for the people who are actually putting hands on enterprise security. Anyone?
Okay, this is Stu with Diversinet, and I'll take that question. Really, the big focus for OATH over the past several months has been on its reference architecture, which we published early in the summer. And what this really gives for network practitioners and IT managers in enterprises is really a reference model and a way to look at authentication infrastructures and leverage, and really the intent of this is to provide a guidance on different components that can promote interoperability that can be used to provide building blocks in building an authentication architecture. So what Oath is really doing here is moving away from proprietary systems and proprietary solutions for authentication. And by putting this reference architecture out and by actually filling some of the gaps in systems that are proprietary today and creating some standards, opening that up. So what that will allow IT managers to do is to select from different vendors different components for an authentication infrastructure. So they may be able to choose an authentication token from one vendor, an authentication validation system from another vendor, another token that interoperates with that system from yet a third vendor, a provisioning system from a fourth vendor, and just really create a more competitive market, and which should really introduce lower cost solutions and more flexibility for the end customer.
Okay, well, I know that a critical part of any open standard is the reference architecture. Where are we with the Oath reference architecture right now?
So we published the architecture back in May, and what Oath is doing right now is solidifying a roadmap in terms of prioritizing the different elements of the architecture and where to put our resources in terms of creating either new standards or profiles or filling specific gaps in the architecture that where there is no standard today. So really working in a number of areas, in the, you know, basically trying to promote use of one-time password in areas like web services, coming up with standard formats for different components that can allow interoperability among systems, such as token formats and token IDs, things like that. So we're really prioritizing those work items and coming up with a more definitive roadmap to fill in the gaps.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're making good progress, but I know that there's a world of difference between having an architecture and having companies sign on to the architecture or the roadmap. Where is Oath in terms of actually getting vendors to sign on to this idea?
I'll take that one. This is David Berman. We have now over 55 vendor and customer organizations, large and small, that are part of Oath. And we just recently signed AOL as a major service provider endorsing the Oath effort. And they are signed on at our board level. We also have industry leaders like IBM, Juniper, Checkpoint, and major smart card providers like GenPlus and Exalto that are signed on to the Oath effort, all founding members of the organization and driving the roadmap and also driving the marketing to create awareness about the need for strong authentication.
Okay. Well, let me ask this question. If I am the CISO, or if I'm just a manager in the security department of an enterprise, I look at the Oath architecture, see the information on a potential roadmap, decide that this sounds like an awfully good idea. What do I need to be doing today to make sure that my efforts can fold into an Oath compliant product and practice set as it's implemented by the various vendors?
Okay, this is Stu. I'll take a cut at that. I think the first step you want to do as an IT manager or CISO is evaluate your requirements, your policies and the threats that you're trying to protect against. Authentication is a fundamental building block of any security system for the enterprise. You know, when you talk about identity management and all the threats of, you know, people coming into your network with, you know, spoofing threats and identity theft and all these issues, you want to look at your threat model and say, all right, what kind of authentication system do I need? What are my requirements and my policies? Based on that, then, you can choose different levels of authentication methods. So, for example, Oath, even though Oath came out initially with one of the first things Oath did was specify an OTP algorithm called HOTP, HMAC-based OTP, as an open standard for one-time password authentication, that's only one of several authentication methods that you can choose from in an authentication system. So the framework addresses a whole range of authentication methods, such as, you know, challenge response, public key certificates for strong authentication, even stronger authentication. And each of these methods has different places depending on what your requirements are. So I think, you know, the first step is to really look at the architecture, and the architecture does reference a number of different methods, a number of different, you know, again, validation techniques for authentication system, and start to, you know, basically characterize your requirements and your architecture. And then from there, you can start to look to specific vendor solutions within that framework.
Okay. Is there anything useful that a member of the user community can do to encourage the vendors to participate in this initiative, or to be prepared to move forward quickly when there are final documents to move against?
This is Wally. I'd like to take that one. I think what the user community should do is two things. One is get involved in Oath itself as a user. As an organization, Oath is looking for guidance from the users. Where, as David had mentioned, you know, we have large corporations joining us now, service providers, and they're providing invaluable information to us as an organization of what we should be working on. And I think the second thing that your users should do is go back to their security providers and say, look, if you're not part of this, why aren't you? Because these open standards are going to be driving the agenda for the foreseeable future. The age of you know, closed end-to-end systems, security systems, is really passing away. And I think that Oath is at the forefront of setting the standards to move to this next generation of security solutions. And if your supplier isn't part of this, why aren't they?
Okay. Well, you mentioned the users. Now, I want to sort of drop down a level on the whole user ladder. We've talked a bit about what this might mean to a CISO or a manager within the IT security group. I think it's fairly obvious the sort of thing that this project, this initiative can mean to vendors. But what impact is this going to have on the actual users? I mean, is this the sort of thing where the users will be aware that their company is implementing an Oath compliant system, or ideally, will it be something that the users are blissfully ignorant about?
This is Don. I think from the user community, they will be aware of it, and they will feel more confident in using their devices as it moves into more mobile devices when you can authenticate yourself over a cell phone, a PDA, and provide strong authentication through your laptop, and you know that you're protected against phishing schemes and spoofing techniques. You can feel a whole lot more confident in your communication systems with your bank or your financial institutions or on your corporate networks.
And this is Stu. I would add to that as well. You know, what Oath is really trying to enable is mass market authentication. You know, moving beyond just, you know, enterprise deployments to really broad universal adoption of strong authentication. So I would say while the user doesn't need to be aware of something being Oath compliant or not, what Oath is attempting to achieve here is make it simple to actually extend strong authentication out to the broad user community. So as Don mentioned, things like, you know, putting it on mobile devices that people already carry around. You know, Oath is putting together standards and specifications that allow for implementation of strong authentication on these types of devices in a standard way. So by really making it more universally available, we certainly intend that a broader base of the end user community will be able to take advantage of strong authentication.
Okay, well, now getting back to the managers let's help them for a moment, because most users today, when they hear strong authentication, what they're going to think is that Oath is a group that's going to insist that everyone remember 24-digit random strings that change every 2 days. And all they can think of is that they're going to run out of room on the bottom of their keyboards to tape the piece of paper where they write these down. Oath should make their life easier rather than more difficult, shouldn't it?
Don, absolutely make their life easier. That's one of the primary goals of Oath, is to provide strong authentication, but to do it in a way that makes it easier to get. One-time password is not something that the user has to remember. It's something that is on a device so that he does not have to remember it, and it will be changing, you know, every time he logs on or makes a call, therefore providing that level of authentication and simplicity at the same time. That's the challenge. Have the authentication, but also have it in a manner that is simple enough to utilize.
Yep, and this is Stu getting specifically on the comparison with, you know, changing your current static password frequently. You know, what strong authentication is about fundamentally is multi-factor authentication. So what, you know, what Oath is promoting is things like two-factor authentication, where the second factor can be a one-time password generating token that you carry around with you and can be very simple. You don't need to carry around a separate device, then, you know, a separate token even. You can have something running on your mobile phone, things like that. So make it very simple for the user, but yet have a second factor that really makes it difficult for an attacker to simply, you know, take your password and use it. Something that is only good for one use, for example.
Well, now, on that two-factor, a question that I've heard asked fairly frequently is whether Oath inherently favors one physical form of two-factor authentication over others. Is that something that's true about Oath, or is it relatively agnostic?
This is David. I can address that. So Oath is relatively agnostic. The framework itself calls out several different types of authentication method, and the key principles that Oath laid out when we chartered the organization were basically to drive and endorse open and royalty-free specification to make device innovation and embedding the norm as far as strong authentication. They have native platform support, and through the reference architecture to promote interoperable modules among validation, provisioning, et cetera, as Stu had outlined. So really, we're looking at an all-encompassing framework that really is focused on the problem of strong authentication. Oath is unique in the world of organizations out there that we really focus on this problem alone, and we're not really looking at some of the other associated problems around identity. We're really focused on adopting strong authentication for the masses.
Okay. Well, can you give me a sense of your timeline towards reaching final status on the documents that you have in process?
This is Stu.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll be basically over the next few months here putting together a roadmap that will be made available publicly to communicate that timeline. So I think, you know, we know it'll be incremental, and we don't want to boil the ocean, right? And we want to take steps that we think will have really immediate value and impact. So we're looking at some of the areas and the gaps that we feel will create real value in the market and to end users pretty quickly. And those will be the priorities that we put out in the roadmap. But you know, I can't give us a real specific timeline right now in terms of deliverables, because to be a little clear, some items will be things that that could be published very quickly. Some other items will go through a standards process. So the oath itself is not a standards body. So if we say, gee, there's a gap here and we need a provisioning protocol or some other protocol to be defined and we want to take that through a standards body, then that really goes through that whole standards process, which could be itself a year or more to create a new standard. And other functions, other activities might be quicker.
Okay.
Depend on the type of work being done.
So
this is Wally.
Yes.
Now, I'd like just to add to that we are approaching the standards incrementally, so that we are addressing each element sequentially and building the overall standard. We're not going to wait until everything's in place before we go out. So there are certain oath standards that are there now and companies that are delivering product today to those standards.
Okay.
I'd like to jump in there. This is David. So one key document that they can find on the OAuth website, which is openauthentication.org, is the specification, the IETF specification for HMAC OTP, which is available there, and that provides not only the algorithm itself, reference implementation as well, and we have a OAuth member, safehouse.org, which is a spin-out from Apache that has already implemented a open-source version of the OAuth algorithm as a soft token that you can deploy to a cell phone. And we also have, they've also implemented the validation backend in their open-source server, which they call TripleSec. So even as we roll these things out, the components themselves are useful and can be deployed right away.
Okay.
And this is Stu. So, for example, the HOTP algorithm has been implemented by over a dozen vendors already and done a number of interoperability demos at different trade shows. So the fact that it's been widely implemented across different vendors is a great great testament that it is a working working algorithm, and it's something that IETF was pretty quick to standardize on.
Well, it sounds like you are making successful steps towards an ultimate goal at this point. I have one final question, and I'd like each of you to answer this, if you will. Before I ask it, I will say thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. We really appreciate it, and I will look forward to having further conversations with OAuth members as we move forward in the entire process. But my final question to you is that as you sit here today and you see what has already been done and you know what is in process, what do you see as the state or the event or the market situation that will let you sit back and go, yes, this overall effort was successful. OAuth has been a success in all its goals. What will it look like then that's different from the way we have authentication today? Don't everyone speak at once.
This is Wally. I think that one of the ideas, the ultimate goals, is to make security and strong authentication invisible and inescapable. And when we can really have enough choice for users, enough ideas from vendors and suppliers and integrators and service providers, that this whole security issue just disappears because it's built into the infrastructure. And users don't have to worry about all the different challenges that they have today. I think that when it's invisible and it's and inescapable, that's when we truly will have been successful.
Okay, thanks, Wally.
This is David Berman. I would concur with Wally. OAuth will be successful when we have broad-based deployment of consumer authentication, strong authentication, deployed in a way that fits the user's lifestyle, whether their token is an MP3 music player that happens to have a built-in token, or their PDA, or their cell phone, or they carry a dedicated device. The choice should be with the user, and it should fit with how they need to access services on the web and access the other resources that their corporation might provide them.
All right. Thank you, David.
This is Don. As we move forward and users look to the future when they turn on their devices, everyone wants to know that they will be protected and secure in their communication, in their downloading of whatever, that that time, when that comes, the trust level will be so high, then Oath will say, this is what we've done. We've allowed this interoperability between devices and networks without slowing anything down, without making it complex. And we will remove the scare factor that is growing with identity theft and phishing and spoofing that is rampant today. When that goes away, then I think Oath will really feel comfortable that it has been successful in providing that open, secure authentication.
Thank you, Don.
And this is Stu. So I think certainly one measure of success is ubiquity and broad adoption of strong authentication. To take a current event and put it in context, look at what the FFIEC just published as some guidance that came out last week on that all bank websites should be adopting some form of two-factor authentication by next year. Right? So, I mean, a measure of success is, you know, hey, Oath was a solution and provided a framework for that infrastructure so that the next, you know, that this doesn't need to come out, that you've got strong authentication in place, in fact, so that a year from now, 2 years from now, when things are implemented, we don't have these issues, the phishing issues and the types of threats. And, of course, there will always be a continuing push from the hackers and all that to create new threats, and we'll never completely end that battle, but I think having ubiquitous strong authentication would be a major step towards dealing with the identity theft and fraud issues.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to our next conversation.
Well, that was my interview with members of the Oath Consortium. And through the miracle of technology, this half of my commentary is being brought to you back in my office for the wonderful thing of modern technology. You know, speaking of modern technology, I think it's amazing that in the total industry, the computer and networking area, where standards have been so often talked about, security is one of those small pieces where there's great resistance to the idea of standardizing on solutions and standardizing on technology frameworks to bring some sort of rationality to the process of trying to build total security infrastructures made up of pieces from various vendors. I hope that the folks from Oath have some success at what they're doing. Even if you're not interested in deploying an Oath-compliant solution, I think the total effort and recognition that there can be some sort of standard framework is useful to the rest of the industry. Boy, things have been active in security lately, and I'm running behind in trying to get information to you on them. Fortunately, the rest of network computing and CMP is picking up the slack. Little things like the Sony BMG rootkit debacle are taking a lot of time and space in the news media, and they should be. And here we have a supposedly trusted source, which is putting a hacker tool and a window into your security through which all sorts of vermin can crawl on your system without your permission. It sort of brings into question a lot of the issues around trust relationships that we've talked about so much over the past few years. Well, I have lots more podcasting to do. We've got several more interviews lined up and more coming every day. In addition, before the end of the year, be looking for another
podcast on security from Network Computing, this one with an exciting sponsor. This one, the new one's going to be in a different format, going to be shorter, going to be a little bit punchier, and we'll keep doing the long interviews on this one. Thanks for taking the time to listen. If you have any comments, please let me know. Send those comments to me via email at cfranklin@cmp.com. And until next time, this is Kurt Franklin saying so long.